It is my pleasure to introduce Gerald Gutterman. He is the Senior Principal Partner and Chief Investment Officer of Gutterman Partners. He joins us here as an expert in all things real estate. And Gerald Gutterman, I'm wondering if you could just describe a little bit for people that may not be familiar with your history and your company, what achievements and accomplishments, because they are many, what you can just describe to give people a little idea of your background.
Sure. We're in business now a little over 49 years. Our 50th year will be in a few months. As a matter of fact, we have the same partners. We started in 1969. Next year, we're going to celebrate the 50th year. We're actually going to sign our agreement. We never got around to signing it because we simply couldn't afford the legal fee for an attorney to do it. But we are all each other's lifetime friends. And I'm very lucky to have this kind of relationship with five other guys. To know what we do, we are in the real estate business, obviously. We are developers, builders, owner-operators. On the development side, my company were the original owners and developers of the residential portion of Roosevelt Island called Island House, and we owned it, we operated it. We owned the Glen Oaks Village, which was 3,000 apartments in Queens. We owned a number of properties around Manhattan, the Park Vendome, 220 East 60th Street, 444 East 57th Street, 50 Sutton Place South, 420 East 58th Street.
Yeah.
And a number
He's
of others.
He's got a list.
He's got a list.
Right.
You know, it adds up to 78,000.
It does.
Condominium apartments.
I know, and rental.
And rental apartments.
Yes.
Owned and managed.
Yes.
The largest condo owner and operator, at least in New York, if not in the country.
Well, we finished now 16,028 apartments through last year, which they tell me is about 3.5 times the next largest in the New York area.
So let's talk about the New York area, because we've seen cranes still up and bringing up more buildings and more buildings. We were just talking ahead of time about how the biggest problem for local or residential real estate markets is overbuilding. Are we overbuilt in New York, and what is the consequence if we are?
We're overbuilt to the price level that we're trying to sell or rent to. New York now has a reputation that's shared by Miami and Houston, Texas. The reputation is if you give a builder in New York a mortgage, he will build in the desert. There's just no limit to the amount that will be built as long as they can borrow the money. You know, it's a funny thing about borrowing money. It's tax-free. And a lot of the building that goes on throughout the country has to do with something called the first draw. The first draw is exactly what it seems to be. It is the first amount you get from a lender. It is tax-free because it's a loan, but it's also unaccountable. Because it's unaccountable, can you imagine all of the things you can cover, all of the mistakes you can cover? And consequently, the first draw forces builders to build more because they can't cover the costs of what they built previously.
So are we heading toward a crash here with respect to the high end, the mid to high end condominium markets or apartments?
I am convinced that, and a reason that I've brought my people back to New York because we work in a number of other states, is that we are going to see an implosion of these ridiculously high priced condominiums that have no reason to have been built in the first place. They weren't based on, in my humble opinion, sound and reasonable thought. They were based on hopes and dreams of being able to attract folks from other countries who either had flight capital or were simply trying to establish something for ego in the United States. And I think you can see from some of the prices that have been paid, $50 million, $75 million, $100 million, what does that have to do with the time of day? That's simply an outsized ego trying to be self-satisfied.
You have written about something described as sleight of hand and magic, and it's not about Houdini. Tell us how sleight of hand and magic factor into real estate investment funds.
Oh, yes. It's some of my favorite things. What I have found over the years is that when I noticed funds buying portfolios of properties. They were buying them for different reasons than what I originally thought. I thought they were properly investing the money and looking for a return. What I found was they were looking for magic. What they would do is they would buy a portfolio of maybe three, four, five, or more properties, and the seller would agree to take the funds in total as one number without apportioning the sale price to each property. So what was happening is the buyer was now deciding on what the pro rata share of purchase price would be of this total for each one of the properties. And when he did that, if you think of it this way, it's really what happened. He could take his best property he was buying and put the lowest basis. And he could take the worst property he was buying and increase that basis out of all reasonable thought. And consequently, when he went to sell, first his return on the best property became astronomical.
Right.
When he went to sell, he was selling at a false basis.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of people who are looking for magic. They might get something else. Gerald Gutterman, thank you so much. That was fantastic. Gerald Gutterman is Senior Principal Partner at Gutterman Partners, overseeing thousands and thousands of apartments.